News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, I'm going to go ahead and just touch on some breaking news right now, okay? So the situation in Ukraine and the surrounding countries has gotten far more dire just in the last 2 to 3 hours. Now, I've been saying all along that I don't think this is a fake. This is not a head fake. I mean, I questioned at one point whether or not Putin might make a head fake out of it just to go ahead and make Biden look silly. But I don't, you don't mass 190,000 troops for nothing. You don't. And the reality is what just happened in the last hour. Let me make sure you're aware of this. And we'll do a full segment on this, too, at around 3:30. And by then, we may have more news the way things are going right now. But right now, what we're showing in the last hour is that President Putin just gave a speech from the Kremlin in which he denounced Ukraine as not ever having proper statehood in and of itself. In other words, they're not a sovereign nation, in his opinion, and declaring that there was, and basically, this is, how does this happen? How do you declare independence for a foreign country's states? It would be like saying Mexico decided to go ahead and declare Arizona as independent. It doesn't work that way. But that's what he's doing, and this is a pretext, in my opinion. So what he's doing here is President Putin has declared the two easternmost districts of Ukraine to be independent nations. Basically, independent republics. One is the Donetsk region, and the other is Luhansk. And those would almost be contiguous with the Crimean Peninsula that he already annexed in 2014. By doing this, what he's doing is setting up, he's basically saying those two districts or republics are now filled with Russian sympathizers, Russian separatists. They want to be a part of Mother Russia. I am prepared now to defend their interests. That's very likely what he's doing is he's setting up the alleged cover for why he would mass 190,000 troops over the last 2 months. So what we're watching now is what's happening with Putin. I got a little bit of a clip. Copper, I'll tell you what, clip three, let's do a quick analysis. This is what the news is saying most recently, even as of this morning. Copper, clip three, go ahead and play it.
Invasion of Ukraine looking more and more imminent as Russian troops are now within just 3 miles of the border. And check out this new satellite imaging. It shows convoys and tanks hidden in civilian areas and forests. Plus, we're learning that Moscow's battle plan calls for an overwhelming intensity of fire on Ukraine, one the U.S. warns could kill tens of thousands in just the first few days. This is the Kremlin now insist it's too early to talk about a Putin-Biden summit. At the same time, Russia is also said to be preparing a hit list of assassination targets that include political figures and activists in Ukraine. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan warned this morning about the scope and magnitude of Russia's plan.
Well, we believe that any military operation of the size, scope, and magnitude of what we believe the Russians are planning will be extremely violent. It will cost the lives of Ukrainians and Russians, civilians and military personnel alike. But we also have intelligence to suggest that there will be an even greater form of brutality because this will not simply be some conventional war between two armies. It will be a war waged by Russia on the Ukrainian people to repress them, to crush them, to harm them.
So what we're looking at right now, I'll go ahead and stop it there, Copper. What we're looking at right now is Russia, like I said, has massed overwhelming firepower on the border. We're hearing, and I may have a clip in a little while from Senator Tom Cotton, who says they're even moving blood supplies and field surgical hospitals into the frontline regions, which is a clear indication they're not just there for an exercise. And on top of that, Putin himself is taking the unusual unilateral diplomatic steps of declaring certain portions of Ukraine to be free and independent republics, which I guarantee you he's going to find have given him cause to have to go in and quote-unquote protect them. That's pretty much the basis for why he invaded and took over Crimea in 2014, during which time, by the way, the Biden administration or the Obama-Biden administration gave some very feckless attempts at sanctions that didn't even bother Putin a bit. It was the Trump sanctions that bothered him. Well, Trump's gone. And now Biden's back in charge. And we're looking at the invasion of Ukraine. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, we're going to move into number one of the triple dipper here, which is Alabama Republican machinations in just a minute. Before we do that, though, one of our sponsors is Bellwether Technology, and they've been doing, rather than a regular ad, every Monday, they've been doing a thing called the Cyber Minute. It's been pretty cool. And he literally takes what he calls geek speak and makes it, kind of breaks it down to where folks who don't do tech like me can understand what's going on. So with that said, let's do another week of the Cyber Minute. Copper, go ahead and hit it.
The Cyber Minute.
Welcome to the Cyber Minute, brought to you by Bellwether Technology, www.bellwethertechnology.com. Today's Cyber Minute, what is an insider threat? According to the Department of Homeland Security, a workplace insider threat can include sabotage, theft, and abuse of access rights. But what about insider threats in your personal life? Think about the devices in your home, your cell phone, tablet, home computer, or even a digital picture frame. Did you know some electronic products are banned from use within the U.S. government because they contain chip-level spyware? Yes, many are manufactured in China, but not all. Software you can buy that's meant to protect you and your data, like Kaspersky Lab's antivirus, banned from U.S. government use in 2019, still available to the general public today. What about your computer operating system? Can your own PC be an insider threat? Did you know the Windows 10 privacy agreements indicate Microsoft can collect your voice and typed character data? You can turn those off on your local system, but what about their cloud services like MS365, where you're working directly within Microsoft-owned infrastructure? What about cell phone carriers like T-Mobile that are now restricting your ability to share news and information they disagree with? Did you know Google recently implemented a policy for the Google Drive service that will restrict your access to your own stored data if Google deems it inappropriate according to their terms of service? This means all these services are accessing what you think is private data. If we were only talking about restricting illegal content and activities, it would be understandable, but we aren't. Who defines what is acceptable? The big tech big brother really is watching. Be aware of what is happening with your devices, services, and data. Our operating systems, our phones, our auto listening devices, and our online storage services may have become the biggest insider threat of all.
The Cyber Minute takes geek speak in the cyber world and translates them into topics that non-technical people can enjoy and learn from. So come with me as we explore, reveal, and talk our way through modern technologies and the issues they bring to our daily lives. This has been your Cyber Minute. I'm your host, Chris Williams. I'll see you next time.
Oh my gosh, Copper, I don't feel safe at all after I hear stuff like that. I just want to turn off every electronic device.
Makes my blood
do you have,
boil.
Let me ask you this. Do you have an Alexa thing in your house? Do you have one of those?
No, thank goodness.
No, I don't either. What about Siri? Do you use Siri on your phone?
Occasionally.
See, that just creeps me out. I don't know. I guess I've seen too many science fiction movies where, you know, and what's the thing from the Terminator? What's the name of the? I can't remember it now, but it says, and basically suddenly it became self-aware. And I'm like, ah, I don't want to hear that.
Skynet.
Yes. On so-and-so date, Skynet became self-aware. Oh,
be
my
nice
gosh.
Be nice to Siri. Don't insult Siri. She'll remember.
Oh, are you being serious?
Yeah, I'm always nice to Siri. All these people who insult Siri, I never insult Siri.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. All right. I'm moving on now because this is freaking me out. Cyber Minute from Bellwether Technology. We thank them for being a part of the Right Side team. But, hey, listen, I'm moving to the number one of the Triple Dipper. And, yes, there is news that is breaking as we go right now about Ukraine, Russia, and I'm going to have an entire segment of that coming. So I'm saving some of this for that because so far none of the breaking news has been what I would call earth-shattering. There's no invasion. They've not crossed the border. You know, they haven't hit the flot, which is what we call in the military the forward line of troops. It's looking like it's imminent. So I hate it. Pray for the people of Ukraine. I did get a text from my friend Chris May, and I'll tell you about that later, about what people are saying on the ground, friends of his. You remember he was on the show a while back and put the human, sort of the human factor, I guess you'd say, on the Ukraine issue. Right now, though, what I am going to cover are some things that are happening in your state party politics. Now, I will say this. If I can find something to say about the Democrat Party, I'll say it. But right now, they are just not in the news. It's like the Democrat Party in Alabama is not even there. And truthfully, in many ways, they're not. So am I an elected, a former elected Republican official? Yes. Am I a member of the state Republican Party? Yes. Am I a former county party chairman? Yes. All that to say, do I have a bent towards Republican politics? Yes, unashamedly, I do. But I will call balls and strikes, and if I see something wrong, I'll say so. I'll also, by the way, let you know if I see something in the Democrat Party. Now, we tried multiple times to get State Representative Chris England, who is the chair of the state Democrat Party, on the show. Can't get him. He won't do it. Now, he tried to ding me a few times on social media, at which point I said, hey, why don't you come on the show and talk about it? All he said was maybe. Whatever. So I'm going to spend some time right now, though, talking about Republican Party machinations. So this past weekend, I was there. Charlene and I were both there. We went down for the winter meeting. If things go as planned, I expect to have State Republican Party Chairman John Wall on the show tomorrow, and we'll talk about it in a little more detail with him. It was an unusual meeting. It was a frustrating meeting, and it was also a good meeting. I mean, I saw lots of folks, a lot of friends, sort of shook some hands and made some connections. It was great to be in the big room together. It's very cool when you consider where the Republican Party has been and where it is now. I mean, it's very exciting. And a lot of folks were there from this listening area. Lots. There were some kind of ridiculous things that happened. I mean, first of all, there's always party business. What do you mean, Phil? Party business? Yeah, we do. We actually pass resolutions. We adopt bylaw amendments. We take a look at how we run our party and the finances. We take the treasurer's report. We get the national committeeman's report. By the way, we have members of our Alabama Republican Party that are officials within the National Republican Party, if you're not aware. Very cool. But some of the things that we did by a vote or a margin of 89%, 256 members voting on Saturday, supported a school choice bill. The party, the state party, is supporting the concepts of giving parents a choice in where their kids go to school. And we're urging the legislature to please do so. All right, there's that. On a separate amendment, resolution, by a margin of 85%, with 265 members voting on that one, urging Kay Ivey, Governor Kay Ivey, to issue an executive order forbidding mask mandates. So the state Republican Party has taken a stand on this and said, Governor, for the love of God, quit worrying about what anybody thinks. You will be much loved if you'll just do this. Well, she could issue an executive order like other states have, and we encourage her to do so. So far, she has not even chosen to respond to the fact that that happened. Now, there was another one that was a little bit more controversial, but it still passed with 86%. You may have heard me talk about the fact that just last week, not Republicans, but concerned parents in Mountain Brook are up in arms because they found out that there is a counseling model called SEL, which just escapes me right now what SEL stands for. But the end result of it is it teaches the counseling on issues such as diversity, equity, same-sex marriage without the knowledge of the parents. And it is in use throughout the state, apparently. And 86% of those present for the Alabama Republican Party Executive Committee's winter meeting said, stop it. We don't stop it. It's like social justice is not what our schools, which are ranked last in the nation, should be worried about. So there's that. Now, here's where it got weird. First thing that happened was there was a resolution fully approved by the resolutions committee to ask the state legislature to repeal the medical marijuana bill. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, there are some people in this state that are about to make tens of millions of dollars growing medical marijuana because they were the ones pushing for the bill in the first place. And they got it. Oh, they got it. Most god-awful bill. I don't care if you believe that marijuana is good. I talked to a doctor this morning who told me, he said, I like that bill. I think marijuana is good medicine. That's fine, doc. Did you know they raise taxes, grew government, and violate civil liberties in the middle of that bill like Republicans said they would never do? But for all those reasons and more, the state Republican Party was moving to adopt a resolution asking the legislature to repeal it. However, someone who likes medical marijuana got up and made a motion to table, which is a procedural thing, and basically said, hey, we don't want to talk about this right now. Let's table it. That means put it aside for another day. And the tabling motion passed, which shocked me. I was actually up at the microphone prepared to speak when the tabling motion came in. It's a non-debatable motion. And lo and behold, dadgum. Apparently, the vast number of the members of the Republican Party don't even want to debate a marijuana bill. I'm flabbergasted. The other weird thing that happened, though, very weird, was that someone then got up and made a motion to adjourn the meeting. Now, once again, this is procedural, but a motion to adjourn is also not debatable. A motion to adjourn has to be heard. And I talked to John Wall afterwards. I said, "Do you expect that?" And the first thing he said was, "I've gotten to where I quit expecting anything," which I totally get. I totally get that. But he did say, he said, "Phil, someone has tried this at the last four meetings in a row. Someone always makes a motion to adjourn early. It's as if they don't want to get to certain business," which they didn't. They didn't. But this time, for the very first time, the motion to adjourn was adopted. And the meeting adjourned early. Before we even had a chance to consider some things that were already on the agenda for consideration. That, folks, is basically people trying to avoid having to deal with certain things, not the least of which was, and I will admit, it's sensationalistic, and to me, it's pretty stupid. Dean Young, who is running a ill-fated attempt at running for governor, had a resolution asking for Governor Ivey to be removed from the ballot. What? He wants her removed from the ballot because she didn't put the Ten Commandments up in the state house or in the Capitol. He swears that she made a promise she would do that. I don't know, but you know what I do know? First of all, Dean Young, you and I both know there's a method for contesting someone's candidacy, and open forum resolutions are not it. That was him trying to make a statement and gain a sensational opportunity to sort of capitalize on for his campaign, which is going nowhere. Dean Young is not going to be the next governor, and he literally just wasted time by bringing a resolution. Well, it was going to be a part of the next order of business, new business, actually, and someone made a motion to adjourn and basically saved the governor from the embarrassment of having to have Dean Young up there ranting about her not loving God and won't put up the Ten Commandments. So there's that. Now, there was a lot of other stuff, and the interesting piece is my old Senate seat, I used to be the state senator for District 10, became one of the most controversial pieces of the day. And I'm going to tell you about that when we get back from this break. So go ahead, Copper, move us to a break. When we get back from this, I'm going to tell you about people that were kicked off the ballot. Literally, kicked off the ballot. Well, if you heard my opening monologue, you know that you got to have standards and rules, although a couple of these caught some people by surprise. Including me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back with some Republican Party machinations after this. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, and just plain right. Got a great audience out there, Right Side Ruffians. By the way, I've been getting some just amazingly wonderful emails. Thank you so much for your encouragement. We appreciate y'all, like more than you could possibly know. I mean, this show is not even worth having if y'all aren't there. So thank you to all of you who have made this show successful. So let me jump back on number one of the triple dipper here. Republican machinations is what I'm calling it. Well, so I told you earlier before the break that I served in the legislature as the senator for Senate District 10, which included at the time Etowah, Cherokee, DeKalb, and St. Clair counties. It was, you know, amended later after redistricting, and it became just basically, became Etowah, Cherokee, and DeKalb. All that to say, northeastern part of the state, right? Well, my Senate district is in controversy right now. We were the ones who had the only person who was a Democrat, try to run as an independent last time for my seat when I chose not to run again. Luckily, that didn't work. The interesting dynamic we have right now, though, is this past weekend, the state Republican Party chose to remove three people from the ballots. one of which was Teresa Ray, somebody who I know quite well personally, who was running for my seat. So Senator Andrew Jones is the one who won election after I didn't, after I chose not to run again. It was an open seat. He ran. He prevailed. He's been the senator for the last 4 years. A mixed bag in terms of how he has done. Depends on who you talk to, really. He did not score very well on the Alabama Policy Institute scorecard. And there was a pretty clear indication he might draw opposition. Well, he drew Teresa Ray. Now, I know Teresa. Her husband was a great judge, Judge William Ray, Bill Ray. And Judge Ray was a longtime elected Democrat. And so there were some people who were immediately saying, Teresa Ray's a Democrat. Man, why is she running as a Republican? Well, she doesn't qualify locally. She qualifies at the state party. So all the people that knew her and knew her family and were concerned about whether she was really a Republican, we were not in charge of that. It went down to, you know, the state party headquarters in Birmingham. Anyway, they qualified her and then immediately drew a challenge. So State Senator Andrew Jones, currently sitting in my old seat, filed a challenge. Now, my first thought was, you can't challenge someone based upon what their husband did. What I didn't know, though, was that she had apparently been on the ballot, or excuse me, on the records as having voted for Doug Jones in the 2017 primaries. Now, that's, or elections. That's, there's a five-year window, I think it is, in state party politics. To be a member or to be an elected official on the ballot, you cannot have openly opposed a Republican on the ballot in the last 5 years, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's five. It's 6 years at the local county in Etowah because we changed our bylaws to six. I think it's five at the state party level. Anyway, Andrew Jones filed a challenge, and they had the hearing this past weekend. Each side allowed to present their, you know, their testimony, so to speak, their evidence. I don't know what else was done. I'm told that perhaps she supported that independent Craig Ford I told you about that ran for my seat last time around, which will be just 2018. And here we are. She's one of only three in the state that got taken off the ballot. So Andrew Jones is now running unopposed. Now, there's people that have called me today on both sides of this. I've had some go, well, she was a Democrat. And others say, how can they do this? Listen, the bottom line is this. I don't know. I wasn't in the meeting. All I know is whatever they heard was considered to be compelling enough for the state party to make a ruling. Now, my recollection is anybody taken off the ballot at the party level then has, by state statute, a right to appeal to circuit court. I think that's correct. So if you don't see what you believe is justice served through the administrative aspects of the state party, which is your first line, you have to go through that, then you are allowed to file an action in court within a certain period of time. We got a whole lot more on this kind of stuff. Coming up next, though, I'm going to be talking about state party politics with Copper and the Birdman. I want to hear them talk about it from their perspective. I mean, what do millennials think about party politics? I'm curious. So we're going to talk to Copper and the Birdman because, man, they got opinions, and I know it for a fact, and they're usually pretty good with them. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. More on the Alabama's Republicans' machinations when we get back. Hang on.